Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Zayin. We're holding on daf Vav and Beis. We're about four lines before the lines get wide at the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nifrayim Man. Four lines before they get very wide. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Ben Numan, Luzchus Rufo Shlema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Baschaya. They should both be Zochet to Rufo Shlema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So the first thing we're going to talk about, Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, that although you're not allowed to pay the Ovdei Kochavim back, Lifnei Idehen, you're allowed to get paid from them, because that's only going to be a tsar for them. So the Gemara is going to try to explain, when does Rabbi Yehuda hold that of the Svara, that even though it's a tsar right now, it's going to be a Simcha La'achar Zman, and when does he not hold of the Svara? We're going to have two explanations of a seeming discrepancy in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Then we're going to introduce the Shita of Rabbi Shub and Karcha, which seems to be completely against any Shita in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shub and Karcha says it all depends if it's a Milva B'shtar or a Milva Al-Peh, as far as getting paid back from of the Chavim Lifnei Idehem, that you're only allowed to get paid back from them if it's a Milva Al-Peh, but not a Milva B'shtar. The Gemara is going to have a Machlokas about the rules of Machlokas V'achar Kach Stam and Ein Seder L'Mishnah. What happens if you have a Machlokas in an earlier Mishnah, Stam in a later Mishnah? When do we assume that we necessarily paskin like the Stam? When do we assume that it's Ein Seder the Mishnah, so we don't know which one is really first? And then the Gemara is going to have three more cases where we paskin like Rabbi Shub and Karcha, meaning once we mention this Chiddush Rabbi Shub and Karcha on the bottom of Vav and Beis, we're going to have three other cases where we paskin like Rabbi Shub and Karcha. One is about talking about doing things after Shabbos, another about how to paskin when there's a disagreement amongst the Chachamim, and another about whether an Amma Aretz can ever achieve the status of Chavir. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to have a machlokas in the Mishnah about the days following Yom Yideihem, whether that's usur to do business with them as well. The Gemara is going to have four explanations of the difference between the Tana of the first Mishnah, who only usured the days prior, and the Shita of the Chachamim in this Mishnah that also only usurs the days prior and not the days after. Four different explanations of what they're arguing about. Then the Gemara is going to have three examples where we reject the Shita of Nachum Amadi, because the fourth of the explanations, what they're arguing about, relates to something that Nachum Amadi said. So it's going to get us into a whole tangential discussion of whether we ever accept anything Nachum Amadi said. But the Gemara is going to say, well, there's certainly one thing that he said that we accept, and that is that you're allowed to be Shol Tzrach of Bishomei Tefillah, and that's going to lead into a whole discussion of adding things into Shemoneh Esrei and what the rules are as far as adding things into Shemoneh Esrei, and that will take us all the way to the Mishnah on Chesam and Aleph, which we probably won't get to today. So let's begin a few lines before the lines get very wide on Dav Vavam Beis at the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nifrayim Mehen. Rabbi Yehuda says, although you're not allowed to pay them back Lifnei Idehen, you're allowed to get paid from them Lifnei Idehen, because that's only a tsar to them. So Frek the Gemara, let's say Rabbi Yehuda Av Pishma Yitzrachshav Sameach Hulach Hazman. Does Rabbi Yehuda not hold of the Svara that even though he may be upset now, ultimately he's going to be gratified that he no longer has this debt weighing him down? Vatanya, but doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold in a different context that we don't look at right now? We do look at whether in the future you're going to be happy in the context of what you are and are not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Isha lo tasud b'moed mipnei shenivul hula. A woman is not allowed to go through some sort of beautification process, some sort of mud on her face or something like that, because that is considered a nivul to her. It's not something comfortable and happy. But umod Rabbi Yehuda b'sid shechol lekabel b'moed she tofalta b'moed afal b'shem tzirach shav simchi lachzman. But Rabbi Yehuda would say, if she can remove it on that same yantiv, even though it's a tsar to put it on, she's allowed to put it on yantiv as long as she'll have a chance to remove it, because she's going to be happy when she removes it and it gives her more rosy cheeks or whatever it is, whatever beauty she's trying to achieve. So that result is going to be achieved on Moed. That's good enough. We look at what's going to be Lachar Zman, even though it's Meitzaru Akshav. So Gemara is asking a stira. Does Rabbi Yehuda take into account only the here and now? In Masech Zavod Zara, it seems that he does. He only takes into account the here and now. He's not concerned about the Simcha Liachar Zman. Or does he take into account even the Simcha Liachar Zman, like he does by Chol HaMoed? So Gemara has two answers. Number one, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Hilchos Moed Dekulu Meitzar Akshav Simcha Liachar Zman. Now, Hilchos Chol HaMoed is the exception. Normally, Rabbi Yehuda would only look at the here and now. But all of everything you do on Chol HaMoed, every malacha you do, is always about Simcha Liachar Zman. No one likes cooking, but nevertheless, it's Simcha L'Acher Zman. People like food, and the only way to get food is by cooking. So that's just the very nature of Melechas Chol HaMoed. So that's why, of course, we take into account Simcha L'Acher Zman when it comes to Chol HaMoed. It's the very nature of Melecha. Ravina Amar Ovid Chavim Le'inyan Piraon Le'ola Meitzer. Ravina says, no, the exception is Avodah Zarah, is dealing with the Ovid Chavim. By the Ovid Kochavim, we assume that it's not going to be a Simcha L'Acher Zman. He's always going to be kicking himself, why did I pay the Jew back? He's always going to be thinking that he could have gotten away with something and he didn't. It's not going to be this great relief that he has this debt off his shoulders. It's always going to be this sadness that he was actually forced to pay it. Good, so that is the explanation of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Now says the Gemara Masnis and Delok Rabbi Shoben Karcha. It happens to be that in our Mishnah, our Mishnah is against the Shita of Rabbi Shoben Karcha because our Mishnah never distinguishes between one type of loan and another. We have two extreme Shitas in our opinion. One Shita that you're not allowed to get paid back from them, Lifnei Yidei, and the other Shita that you are allowed to get paid back from them. But no one distinguishes between types of loans. Rabbi Shoben Karcha makes such a distinction. The Tanya Rabbi Shoben Karcha Omer, milva b'shtar ein nifrayin mehen, milva alpeh nifrayin mehen. A milva alpeh, if there's no shtar, you are allowed to get paid back. Mipneishu kematzil miyadam, because it's as if you are saving the money from their hands. That money otherwise would have been lost forever. As machlokas rishonim, Rashi explains that according to the Rabbanan, even a milva alpeh is ein nifrayim, and Rabbi Shimon Karcha disagrees, and he holds that no, dafka milva b'shtar is ein nifrayim, but there's machlokas rishonim what the chilik is. So Rashi explains, the milva b'shtar, since the Yisrael has a raya, he has a shtar, the guy is always going to be worried every single moment. And therefore, you're not allowed to get paid back lefnei the ideihem, because it's going to be a simcha, that worry is going to be relieved. Muki Yosef explains, based on that, a milva apen Ephraim is because Yisrael doesn't have a shtar, so the guy thinks he doesn't really owe anything. And therefore, if the Yisrael gets paid back, he's not going to be happy at all, because the guy thinks he'll be able to get away with it. However, other Rishonim, Tosos, the Ra'ah, the Miri, other Rishonim explain differently. That a milva al-peh, you get paid back, even though he might be holei chumoda to his avodah zara, but hatzalas mamonim shal Yisrael. Meaning it's not about whether the guy is going to be relieved or not relieved. By a milva al-peh, it's about our legitimate concern that if you don't get paid back when you have an opportunity to, you may never get paid back. That's what it means, kematzil miyadam. It's not attitudinally what the guy is going to think, it's just lemaisa, what's in fact going to happen to a Jew if he doesn't get paid back, if he doesn't strike when he has the ability to get paid back. So says Gemara Vayter now, Yosef Rav Yosef Achor Rabbi Abba, V'Yosef Rabbi Abba Kamed Rav Huna, V'Yosef Ka'amar. So they were sitting there, these Gedolei Olam were sitting there, they were talking in Halacha, and they said, V'Ilchsek Rabbi Shimon Karcha, V'Ilchsek Rabbi Yehuda, that we pass like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, and we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Hilchsek Rabbi Yeshua Hadiamran. The Halacha Rabbi Shimon Karcha is this Halacha that we just said, that disagrees with our Mishnah, and distinguishes between a Milva Alpeh and a Milva Bishtar. What does he mean when he says we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? It can't be the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, because that's against Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha. No, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda that we're talking about is a totally different halacha. That hanos in semer letzabel letzvolo edom. If you give wool to a dyer to dye the wool red, you give clean wool and you ask the guy to make you red wool. Utzvao shachar, he messes up the order and he dyes it black. Or shachar utzvao edom, you ask him to dye it black and he messes up the order and he dyes it red. Rameir omer nosin lo demei tzmara. Rameir says you give him the value of the, meaning the dyer will give the customer the value of the wool, because he has now ruined your wool, so he ruined it, he bought it, so he's got to pay you the value of the wool that you initially gave him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ha-shevach yeser al yitziyah, nosin nosa yitziyah, v'im yitziyah yeser al ha-shevach, nosin nosa shevach. That certainly the wool probably is worth more now dyed than it was before it was dyed, even though it's not the color you wanted it to be. There was also some sort of investment in getting it dyed. You have to pay for the dye and the work and everything. So we do a cheshbon. Which is cheaper? Were the expenses that the dyer took out in order to do this, was that cheaper, or is the improvement in the product cheaper? And you only pay the cheaper price, meaning the customer gets the upper hand, the dyer gets the lower hand over here. So that's where we say that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. There are different explanations of why Rabbi Yehuda holds this way, meaning the sheet of Rameir makes a lot of sense. The guy is Kona Bishinui. He messed up, so he's Kona. He's Kona the item. So good, when you're Kona Bishinui, you pay for the initial item that you took. So he's got to pay for the value of the wool. Why does Rabbi Yehuda not hold that way? So Rashi writes in Maseches Baba Kama that they made a knas for someone who's Mishana, that's Yada al Tachtona, that he's not going to be Kona Bishinui. And that way, the person will be able to be Marviach the Shevach, will be able to benefit the improvement of the product. And they also made a knas that even the guy shouldn't get paid what they initially agreed upon for the work that he did, but he only gets paid the lesser amount if the Shevach is greater than the Yitzhiyah. Meaning, Meikar Adin, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he should have been Kona Bishinoi like Rabbi Meir, but it's all a knas because the guy was a Gazlan, the Gazlan was Kona Bishinoi, but we made a knas that he's not going to be able to be Kona Bishinoi, even though Meikar Adin, he should have been Kona Bishinoi. Tosos, however, quotes Rabbeinu Tam in Dibra Maskel Ramei Roman, the top Tosos over here, that the tseva that he puts in was a shogeg. So since he put in the wrong color b'shogeg, he certainly had no kavana to be kona, and therefore he doesn't become a gazlan without kavana. He's not kona b'shinoi when there is no kavana. But someone who's gozel paraviyalda or rachel gzaza, and he's in the skaving to be gozel, so then he's kona b'shinoi because he has kavana. So it's all about meaning meikar adin. He's not kona. Rabbeinu Tam understands because meikar adin, he had no kavana to be gozel mela. He's not going to be kona. Those are some of the explanations that Rishonim have for why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't just say that he's Kona Bishinoi. It's also interesting, the Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara, he discusses why red and black? Why not just say he colors it the wrong color? What is it about red and black? So he points to, interestingly, the Sugya and Maseches Nida. The Gemara Nida, the Mishnah Nida discusses the colors of dam that are tame and the colors of dam that are tahar. Mishnah tells us that even within red, there are different tones of red, and there are only five colors of red that are actually tame. But the Gemara says, right by the times of the Gemara, they forgot that chachma to be able to know which red was tahar, which red was tame. So we're machmir on all reds. But the Mishnah says, black is tame also. That dam shachar is tame. Why? Adamuel Shalaka, it's a corrupted red. We assume that it's deoxidized or something, that it's red gone wrong. So black is also considered to initiate in red. So if that's the case, says the Paras Yosef, maybe that's why we dafka choose red and black. That even two colors that are very closely related to each other, like red and black, it's a big chiddush to say such a thing. The reason that red and black are related to each other in Dam Nida is because we assume that black was actually once dam. It was actually once red, and then something happened that discolored it. But what does it have to do with what color you want your shirt to be? You know, you give someone a wool to make you a nice coat, and you wanted a black coat, and now you have a red coat. So that's what does it have to do? But that's Paras Yosef makes that sushtel to the sugya in Maseches Nida. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. So when they said this halacha that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, Adrin Rav Yosef la'ape. Rav Yosef turned away in disgust. I understand you want to tell me that Allah says Rabbi Shub and Karcha. You're telling me a chiddush because Sal Kadayt Chaminu Yachad Rab Malach Karabim. I might think that our star Mishnah is a sheet of the Rabbim and that goes against Rabbi Shub and Karcha, and therefore we shouldn't paskin like him. So Kamash Malan. So you tell me a great chiddush Allah Ki Yachid that in this instance we paskin like Rabbi Shub and Karcha. Allah Rabbi Yehuda Lamali. But why would you tell me that Allah says Rabbi Yehuda? It's interesting. His disgust is not that you got the Allah wrong. His disgust is that it's obvious. I mean, why don't you tell me something so simple? I came to shear to hear a chiddush, not to hear something I know already. Pshita de machlokas v'achar kach stam hilchsa kestam. We know the rule. You have a machlokas and then achar kach stam, then you have a stam. The halacha is always like a stam. And over here you have machlokas baba kama stam baba metzia. The machlokas appears in Maseches baba kama, and you have a stam mishnah baba metzia. It says exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. So of course you're going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Ditnan, the mishnah says in baba metzia kol hamishane yado al tachtona. The person who did differently than was expected, the dyer who was supposed to dye one color and dyed another color, he has the lower hand, and the customer gets the upper hand. And anyone who tries to back out also is yado ala tachtona. So what's the great chiddush that you're teaching me? So says Gemara of Rav Huna, Mishum Dein Sei de la Mishnah. Rav Huna thinks it is a great chiddush because it's not so pashut that this is a machlokes v'achar kach stam, because it's Ein Sei de la Mishnah. We don't know that these Mishnayos were taught in the order that we have
have them recorded in the Mishnayos. Rebbe taught the Mishnayos however he taught them. He didn't necessarily learn Baba Kama, then Baba Metzia, then Baba Basra, then Sanhedrin, v'chula, v'chula. It could be he taught them in a different order. There's Seder LeMishnah in terms of there's a reason why when he put out the Mishnayos, he put them in this order, but when he was teaching it in the yeshiva, it wasn't in that order, and the whole Svara of Machlokas V'Archakstam, Halacha Kastam, is based on how Rebbe taught it in the yeshiva. What's the Svara of Machlokas V'Archakstam? That if Rebbe in an earlier shir taught a machlokas and then in a later shir said it as a stam, it means that he resolved the machlokas and he says this, and he came to a conclusion that this is how we paskin. So Rav Huna said, "Ain't seder l'mishnah. We don't know how Rebbe taught it. Dikel lemer stam tana bereisha v'acharkach machlokas. It could be that Rebbe taught the stam first and then the machlokas. Frak the Gemara ihachi kol machlokas v'acharkach stam lema ain't seder l'mishnah. Yeah, but then whenever you have a machlokas and after stam, we should always say in Seder L'Mishnah, meaning there should be no such rule of machlokas v'archach stam, because we should always be able to say, ain't Seder L'Mishnah, we have no idea how Rebbe taught it. Says Gemara, no, we have some idea. Rav Huna, kilo amin ain't Seder, b'chada mesechta, betray mesechti amrinan. Within a mesechta, Rebbe always went, Rebbe always went in order. From one mesechta to another, he didn't teach Shas, starting with brachos and ending in Nida, and going in order, but he did start brachos with the first parak and finish with the last. He did start each mesechta with the first parak and finish with the last. So there is this idea of machlokes v'achach stam within a mesechta. Ein seder l'mishnah is from one mesechta to the other. Okay, great. So we have Baba Kama to Baba Metzia. So that's two separate Mesechta. So shouldn't it be obvious that this is a situation of Ein Seder to the Mishnah? It's not Machlokas V'Archach Stam. It therefore is a great Chiddush to tell me that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that we paskin like the Stam. So what are you getting all upset about that you didn't hear a Chiddush? Rabbi Yosef, the reason Rabbi Yosef got all upset, Kula Nezikin, Chada Mesechtahi. He thought that all the Nezikin is one Mesechta, and therefore it's no great Chiddush that we paskin like the Stam. It's all considered a single Mesechta, so you have a Machlokas V'achar Kach Stam. Of course you paskin like the Stam. Of course you paskin like Rabbi Yudavi, Bayisema, Mishum de Katani la Gabi Hilchsa Psikta, Kala Meshana Yadal Tachtona, V'Kala Chozerbo Yadal Tachtona. Or another possibility of why he thought it was obvious is because this halacha, that Kala Meshana Yadal Tachtona, is listed amongst a number of other halachos that are clear halachic conclusions that we know how to paskin. So you don't have to go and tell me again that we paskin this way. Now Tosfos raises the question, the Gemara is bothered that it's so obvious we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda because it's machlokas v'achar kach stam. Tosfos says, isn't there another reason why it's obvious that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, you're telling me there's a klal and psak that tells us to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so I don't need an amora to come teach it to me. There's another klal and psak, not just machlokas v'achar kach stam. There's a klal and psak, Rameir of Rabbi Yehuda, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. So that's also a klal and psak. Why doesn't the Gemara bring that up? So says to us, oh, I know you're going to tell me not everyone agrees. Rameir Rabbi Yehuda, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Says to us, guess what? Not everybody agrees that machlok is v'achach stam, halach kistam. Not everybody agrees to either of these klalim. So says to us, kachnir lefarish delav mikoch stam by lemifshat delav halach kistam. That it's true. We don't always paskin like machlokes v'achach stam. We don't always paskin like the stam. Maybe we disagree with that klal, but there's another klal, a third klal, that the halacha is like the rabbim against the yachid, and a stam mishnah usually reflects the shita of the rabbim. So that's what the Gemara is really asking. That we don't need any real psak halacha because there's no one that argues on that klal, that the halacha is like the rabbim. And the Tosra ben Elchanan, he also deals with Tosra's kasha, but he answers it a little differently. He says the klal that Meir Rabbi Yehuda, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, is amongst the klalim that are listed in Erev and Daf Mem Vav, and on that Rav Mesharshia comments that not everyone agrees to those klalim because Rav is not moda to those klalim. So Rav Yosef's kasha is kipshuto, meaning the kasha is that machlokas v'achach stam, he thinks that everyone does agree with that rule, machlokas v'achach stam, meaning. Why does Tosfos think that not everybody agrees with Machlokas V'Achach Stam? Because Tosfos assumes that Halacha Kastam Mishnah is not something that everybody agrees with. That's true. Not everyone agrees Halacha Kastam Mishnah. But that's not the same as Machlokas V'Achach Stam. Many of the Rishonim point out, machlokas v'achar kach stam is a much stronger rule than halacha k'stam mishnah, because halacha k'stam mishnah is in the mishnah. You had a rabbi taught it this way, and there could be brises that teach it another way. And I don't know that we pass like the mishnah. Maybe we pass like the brisa. But machlokas v'achar kach stam means rabbi was aware of both shitos. He recorded both shitos, and then he concluded like one shita. That's a much stronger klal than the klal of halacha k'stam mishnah. This is also an interesting discussion when the Gemara says over here, we don't say ain't say the mishnah from one mesech to another, but within a mesech we do. And Rav Yosef holds that kula nezikin is chad mesechta. What does he mean by kula nezikin? All of nezikin. So most of the Rishonim say no. Rashi over here also that kula nezikin means babakam babmitzia babasra. That was all one mesechta, but not all of nezikin. However, there are some Rishonim, the Rimi Gash in Masech HaShavuos explains, Kula Nezikin means not just the Babas, Matas and Shavuos are also included in Kula Nezikin. He says that's why the Gemara in Shavuos asks why Masech HaShavuos is after Masech HaMakos. What kind of question? Ain't Seder LeMishnah. So he says, no, because Kula Nezikin is Chad Masechta, so why are these Mishnayos and Shavuos right after the Mishnayos and Makos? All the rest of the Rishonim would say, no, that's a totally different question. Kula Nezikin Chad Masechta is Babakam Mamasiyah Babasra. When the Gemara asks why is Shavuos after Makos, it's not saying that Rebbe taught it in that order, but Rebbe arranged it in that order for it to be for the Shas to be in some sort of order when we have it. Even though we don't have to learn it in that order, Rebbe necessarily didn't teach it in that order, but he certainly arranged it in that order for a reason. So that's what the Gemara is asking. The Meiri brings a raya that it's only a reference to the three bavas, because there's an often Yerushalmi like this. The Yerushalmi says that the difference between a tipesh and a chacham, it's a fascinating Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that a moron, a fool, when he comes to learn Torah, says, I can't do this. There's Meseches Nezikin is 30 prakim, Meseches Kelim is 30 prakim. Impossible, I can't do it. He says, but a chacham says, El mochtei halachos hayom, El mochtei halachos lemachar. I'll learn a little bit today, I'll learn a little bit tomorrow. And he has modest goals for each and every day. And before you know it, he's finished Shas four times or something, right? So before you know it, you have one after the other, and then it adds up. That's the mitzvah of chacham and a tipesh. But look how the Gemara describes a tipesh, that he says that I can't learn Nezikin, it's 30 prakim. Not all, and Nezikin is way more than 30. Well, Babakam Babmitzia Babasra is 30 prakim. So that's the raya that the Meiri brings from the Yerushalmi, that Nezikin, when we talk about Nezikin, we mean specifically the three bavas, Kula Nezikin, Ischad Masechta. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to bring other cases where we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Karcha. Three other cases where we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, having nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, really, other than it's just Rabbi Shimon Karcha, so we're bringing it up, we're mentioning it. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Lo Yomar Adam L'Chaveiro, Hanira Shetamonim L'Erev. On Shabbos, a guy shouldn't go over to somebody else and say, you know, let's get together tonight. Meaning what he really means is, I have some work I need you to do for me tonight. He's hiring the worker, but he doesn't mention work. It's in the Shabbos Karet, so he's not going to mention the work. But he says, you know, let's get together tonight. Don't do that. Rabbi Shimon Karach Omer, Omer Adam L'Chaveiro Anir Shetamonim L'Erev. Rabbi Shimon Karach says, yeah, it's fine. You're allowed to say such a thing. Omer Rabbi Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchsek Rabbi Shimon Karach, that we pasuk like Rabbi Shimon Karach. So the Gemara in Shabbos elaborates on this in Shabbos of Kuf Nun, that the reason that it's us to hire workers on Shabbos is because Mimsel Cheftz Chav Dabar Davar. You're not supposed to speak about non-Shabbos things, about Cheftz Echal on Shabbos. So the Gemara explains that Shuman Karkos Matir over here, because the Isser is Vidaber Davar, but over here it's only Hirhur. You never said a word about work. You just said, let's get together. You just said, let's hang out. So that's when you say such a thing. Hanir Shtamanu Milarev, that's Begeder Hirhur. It's not Begeder Dibur. And the Tosra Ben Elchanan explains the Machloks Tanakamir Shuban Karcha is just that, is whether Hirhur is Mutter, or and only Dibur is Asr, or even Hirhur is Asr. But the Rov Rishonim say, no, everyone agrees Hirhur is Mutter. Question is, does this count as Dibur? Does this count as Hirhur? Meaning when there's a dibur involved, but it's not dvarim shel chal, it's a dibur that refers to chal, but it's not actual dvarim shel chal, so that's a machlokas. Do we consider that to be dibur, or do we consider that to be hirur? There's also a discussion, Tosfos Masechta Shabbos, quotes a Yesh Omrim, and Nagos Hashri also writes, that Rabbi Shimon Karcha is only when you talk to a Jew, but to a guy, you're definitely not allowed to talk. So that's all the Rishonim try to figure out what the difference is between between having this conversation with the Jew and having a conversation with the guy. Some say because the guy's not going to stop it right there. He's going to say, how much are you paying me? Meaning he's going to start asking more details, whereas the Jew will chop. It's Shabbos. Okay, we'll discuss all that stuff later. Or it could be that the guy is going to immediately start thinking about doing the malacha on Shabbos, where the Jew will put malacha out of his mind until after Shabbos. So, okay, different possibilities of why there might be a distinction. Now, another case where we pass like Rabbi Shulman and Karcha, again, totally unrelated. Tan Rabbanan. Hanisha l'chacham v'timei. If a person asked a shayla for a mechacham, and the chacham was metamei, lo yisha l'chacham v'yitar. He's not allowed to go look for a kula after he already got his chumra. L'chacham v'yasar, lo yisha l'chacham v'yatir. Hayushnayim, if there were two tamidei chachamim, and you didn't ask one before the other, it's just echem metamei v'echem metaher, you know that it's machlokas. One says tamei, one says tar, echem osu v'echem matir, one says osu, one says mutar. Imaya echem me'am gadol mechaveru b'chacham v'minyin, halachacharav. If one of them is a greater chacham, b'chachma b'minyin, so then you follow him, v'imlav, halachachar machmir. Otherwise, you have to follow the more machmir opinion. Rabbi Shuben Karcha Omer, he says, no, you don't always follow the more machmir opinion, it depends. This has a status of a safek, and therefore, b'shal Torah, halachachar machmir. If it's din d'oraisa, you follow the more machmir opinion, b'shal sofrim, halachachar mekel. And by drabban, you follow the more mekel opinion. Amr of Yosef, hilsk Rabbi Shuben Karcha. We pass like Rabbi Shuben Karcha. So three separate rules. Whoever you ask first, you have to follow that opinion. That's rule number one. If two people say the psak at the same time, or you're aware of machlokas, the greater one is the one you paskin like. If they are equal, then Rabbi Shimon Karcha says it depends whether it's Dorais or Drabanon, and Tanakama says you always have to be Machmir. Now, what's the svar for this halacha that once you ask a Shaila, you're not allowed to ask it again? That once you ask to a Chacham and he answered, you're not allowed to ask someone else who's Matir. So the Gemara in Chulin Nida has the same thing, the Chacham She, but it says it a little differently. It says not about the Shovel, it says Chacham Shetimei Ein Chavero Rashai Letaher. Asar in chaveru rashi latir makes it sound like it's going on the chacham, that the isser is on the chacham. So this led to a major machlokas rishonim. What's the nature of this isser? Is it an isser on the shoel? Is it an isser on the chacham? What's the reason for the isser? So some of the rishonim, a good number of the rishonim, Rashi, Maseches Nida, the Ran over here, they suggest that the reason is the covet of the first chacham. A chacham paskin. Now another chacham is going to say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's wrong. So that's a lack of covet for the first chacham. It's a lack of kavod on the part of the questioner to not accept the psak, a lack of kavod on the part of the second chacham to call into question the psak of the first chacham. So that's not right to do. The Ran also suggests that if the second chacham is matir after the first chacham asered, it's yirak shtei toros, halalu osrim, halalu matir, and we don't want the Torah to look like shtei toros. Let a person get his psak and be happy with the psak, and that's it. Otherwise, it's going to look divisive. Other Rishonim, however, explain entirely differently. This is the sheet of the Ravid and the Rashba, the Ritva, that whole school of Rishonim hold that since once a Chacham paskins l'isra on something, it's Shavya Nafshe Chaticha di Yisura. It becomes a Chaticha di Yisura, and it becomes some of the way some of the Acharonim are saying Shavya Nafshe is like a Neder, and you, even if it really is Mutter, you've already accepted it as Aser, and therefore it's Aser. So once he's already Asered it, that's why you can't ask another Shaila for someone else to be matirit. So there are many nafkaminas between these different approaches, right? The Ravid himself points out, if the reason is because of kvodah shel chacham rishon, so if the second guy paskins in violation of this halacha, and he passes that it's mutter, it is mutter. Okay, he violated an isser of kavod, but the psak is still the psak. Whereas if it's an isser of shavya nafshei, so then it never becomes mutter, even if the second guy paskins that it's mutter, and even if he's right, it doesn't matter. You're allowed to shavya nafshei, chatichud yisura, so it remains aser. The Ravid says another nafkamina, that let's say the second guy is a greater mumcha, is a greater expert. If it's that it's shavya nafshei, that's shayich, even if the second guy is a greater expert. But if it's Mishum Kvodo Shal Rishon, the second guy doesn't have to be Mechabed, a Chacham who's much smaller than him, who's much lesser than him in terms of his level of Chachma. Shilta Giborim says, if the reason is because of Shavya Nafshe Chatich Di Yisura, that's only if it was first Chacham said Aser, second Chacham said Mutter. But what if it's the reverse? First Chacham said Mutter, can the second Chacham say Aser? So if it's Mishum Shavya Nafshe, yes he can. If it's Mishum Kvodo Shal Rishon, no he can't. So that would also be a Nafkamina. The Mi'iri writes that that if it's because of the first covenant of the first Chacham, the Chacham himself is allowed to change his mind and be matir. He has no obligation to be mechabed his first psak, but if it's about Shavya and Afshe, then he can change his mind. It's already accepted as Ki'ilu, it's a neder. So he's not allowed to change his mind. Another nafkamina, the Miri writes in Horios, that if it's Mishum Shavya and Afshe, the fact that he's not allowed to be matir is dafka, the same thing that the guy asked on. Let's say a guy asks about the classic shayla, the treifa and the chicken, right? The woman buys the chicken. It used to be that the gourmet glad didn't do this for you, so you had to, before gourmet glad, it's already done, all the shaylas, the treifas are handled already by the shchita. So a woman has a shayla and a treifa and a chicken. So there's a machlokas between two chachamim. So she asks one chacham, he says asr. Then the same shayla comes up in a new chicken, a different chicken, the next day. So if it's Shavya Nafshe Chatichu Di Yisura, the first chicken was Chatichu Di Yisura. This chicken's not Chatichu Di Yisura, but if it's Mishum Kvodo Shal Rishon, it's still the covenant of the Rishon at stake because it's the same theoretical Shaila, it's the same Lamda, so that's still Kvodo Shal Rishon that's at stake. So these are some of the many nafkaminas between the different explanations of why it is that another Chacham is not allowed to go and be Matir. Also, we mentioned this idea of being Gadol B'Chachma U'B'Minyan. What does that mean to be Gadol B'Minyan? Gadol B'Chachma, I get. He's wiser, he's a greater Chacham. What does it mean to be Gadol B'Minyan? So it's also a major Machalkus Rishonim. The Ritva says it means that he spent more years being Meshamish Talmidich. Some say it means no, he has more Talmidim that agree to his psak. Others say no, it just means he has more Talmidim. He has a broader influence. So that's what it means that he's Gadol B'Minyan. Others say no, it means he's older. Gadol B'Minyan just means that he's older. One of my chaverim is very close with Rav Shlomo Fisher, and Rav Shlomo Fisher always refers to his brother, Dayan Yaakov Fisher, I forgot his first name, but Dayan Fisher, he always refers to him as Achia Gadol Meni B'Chachma B'Minyan. He says, why do you refer to him as Gadol B'Minyan? Do you refer to him as Gadol B'Minyan because he's older than you? Or do you refer to him as Gadol B'Minyan because you hold like some of the other Shitas? He says, both. He's older than me, and he has greater influence, and he has he's Gadol B'Minyan in many ways. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. So now the third Shita of Rabbi Shob ben Karcha that we pass on, like, V'Kulon Shechazer Behen, Ein Mekablan Asan Olam. You have someone who's a gazlan or he's an amaretz, and therefore he doesn't have the status of a chaver where you can trust him about certain things. You don't have a dinim of demai or whatever, so he can never go back to being a chaver. Divrei Meir. Once he's a gazlan or amaretz, that's it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chazer ben Matmonios ein mekablan osan befarhesya mekablan osan. That if he did the tshuva privately, then we're not mekablan. But if it's something that's public and everyone realizes, then we are mekabel the tshuva. Ikedamri asu divrei b'matmonios mekablan osan. If his initial avera, the initial problem, was done secretly, then we'll be mekabel when he becomes better. But befarhesya ein mekablan osan. If initially what he did was something that was very public, then we can never treat him as a chaver again. Rabbi Shob ben Karcha omrim bein kach ubein kach mekablin shnemar shuvu banim shavvim. A person can always enhance his status and become a chaver. Om Rabbi Yitzchak ish kfarako, om Rabbi Yochanan hilchsa kosa zug. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shob ben Karcha. So that's the third case outside of Avodah Zarah where we paskin like Rabbi Shob ben Karcha. Now says the Mishnah. We had said in the first Mishnah that you're not allowed to do business with the Avodah Chavim shloshiyam, 3 days lefnei den. Rabbi Shmuel omr shlosh lefneim u'shlosh l'achreim, not just 3 days before, 3 days after, as well as aser. No, only before is aser, afterwards is going to be mutter. So Amar Rav Tachliv Bar Avdim Yom Shmuel Yom Rishon and Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Yol Maser. If you have Ovdei Chavim that celebrate Sunday as a holiday, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the whole week is going to be aser, because 3 days before, 3 days after, plus Sunday equals 7 days, and that's it. So it's always going to be aser to do business with Ovdei Chavim. V'chamam l'fnei day and aser l'achri day and mutter. The Chavim say, no, you're only not allowed to do business with them beforehand, but afterwards you're allowed to. These chacham is exactly what the Tanakama said, meaning what the Tana in the first Mishnah said, that it's only asur for 3 days before. So Gemara has four answers of what the difference is between the Tana of the first Mishnah and the chacham of this Mishnah. Number one, says Gemara, hein below idein ikin binayu. Tanakama savar hein below idein, Rabban Basrei savar hein vi idein. They're arguing about whether it's 3 days in addition to the actual festival day, or it's 3 days inclusive of the actual festival day. Iba yisei manasin b'nasin ikin binayu. Now, or it could be second possibility that they're arguing about what if you already did the business with them, is the stuff that you got asr ba'na. Tanakama savar nasin b'nasin mutter, Rabban Basrei savar nasin b'nasin asr. That this Tana holds that it's going to be Asr Bana. Vibai same a third possibility. The Shmuel Ikabinayu. They're arguing about the din of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Begola in Asr, El Yom Edub. Tanakama Isle de Shmuel, Rabban Basrei, Leslu de Shmuel. That the Tanakama holds like Shmuel that in Gola only the Yomayit itself is Asr and not the days before. And the Rabban Basrei do not hold of Shmuel. How do we know which one holds which? Meaning on that one, how do we know which shita falls on which side? So if you look at Rashi, Begola in of the chav madukin kol kach bavod chav. The svara by Golos is that they're not so religious, the of the chavim. So you don't have to worry about the days in advance. So Rashi, the next Rashi explains, Rabban Basrei leslu the Shmuel. The Rabban Basrei disagree, and they think you do have to worry in advance. That normally you have the right to assume that the way the Mishnayos are ordered is that the later Shita is adding more of a Chumla. So the earlier Shita held that it's only the Yom Ayid in Gola, and the later Shita adds more, adds the 3 days in advance as well. Ibai Sema, fourth possibility, what they're arguing about, De Nachum HaMadi Ikabinayu. De Tanya, Nachum HaMadi Omer Eino Asra Liyom Echel Defnei Edein. That Nachum HaMadi says it's not 3 days in advance, only 1 day in advance. So notice, the Tan of our Mishnah just said, Lefnei Edein Asra Lachri Edein Mutter, never told us how many days. Tan of the first Mishnah said it's Shloshiyam, that it's 3 days. So Tanakama, Lesley De Nachum HaMadi, the Tanakama disagrees that Nachum HaMadi holds it's 3 days. Rabban Basrei is the Nachum HaMadi. But the Rabban of our Mishnah hold like Nachum HaMadi, and they hold that it's only going to be 1 day, that it's not going to be 3 days. So those are the four explanations of what they argue about. Once we mention this last explanation, which includes Nachum HaMadi, which brings up Nachum HaMadi, so we're going to talk about Nachum HaMadi. So first, Gufa. And we're going to have three cases where Nachum HaMadi's Shita is rejected by the Rabbanan. So first is our case. Nachum HaMadi Omer Eino Asra Liyom Echel Lefnei Edehen Amru Lo Nishtak Adavar V'lo Ne'emar. That don't say such ridiculous things. V'yikra Rabbanan Basrei Dekai Mikavasei. What do you mean that don't even say such a thing? There are the Rabban Basrei that paskin like him. Man Chachamim Nachum Amadihu. No, the Chachamim recorded in our Mishnah who hold that it's only 1 day are Nachum HaMadi. It's not some other Chacham that agree with him. It is Nachum HaMadi. It's just we don't mention him by name in the Mishnah. A second statement of Nachum HaMadi that the Chacham absolutely rejected. Tani Idach Nachum HaMadi Omer Mochel and Sus Zachar V'Zakein B'Melchama. That even though you're not allowed to sell a Behema Gasa right before Shabbos, typically to an Ovid Chavim, or it's a Gzeira, lest you lend it to him and he's going to use it on Shabbos, and it's going to be a violation of Behemtecha that you just have to have Shvisas Behema on Shabbos, or that he may try to ask you to give it a test run before he finalizes the agreement. So he's going to say, okay, do some work with this animal right now so I could see that it works, and it's going to be a violation of Mechamer because you're going to come to use it on Shabbos before the sale is final. So even though there is such a halacha, Nachum HaMadi says, you're allowed to sell a male old horse at a time of milchama, because there's nothing that's going to be done with the horse. The horse doesn't schlep any burdens, and because it's male, it's not even going to, you don't have to worry about any other horse mounting it, and therefore, being a violation of milchama on that level. So, amrlo, nishtaka davrlo nemar. No, you can't say such a thing, that we make an exception for an old male horse. Really? You can't say such a thing? V'ika ben b'seira d'kaya kavasei. Ben b'seira holds that way. D'tan, ben b'seira matir b'sus. Ben b'seira is matir by a horse, because horses don't do malacha for you anyway. You just ride on horses. Says Gemara, ben b'seira lo maflik ben zechon l'mekevels. Even the komaflik ben zechon l'mekevels, krabanin sri l'rabanin shtak adav lo nemar. Ben b'seira holds all horses are fine. This sheet of Nachum HaMadi is not all horses, only male old horses are fine. That we reject. Tanya Nachum Amadi Omer. A third statement of Nachum Amadi. Hasheves, a certain type of vegetable, mis aser zera v'yerek v'zirin. You can take maisos from it whether you pick it in the stage of zera, yerek, or zirin, meaning these are different stages of its growth, and depending what you want from it, it could be considered the gemar of the pre, if you're interested in its seed, if you're interested in its leaf, if you're interested in different parts of it. So whenever it is, you take maisos from it. Amalon nishtaka davalon emar. Nah, there can't be such a thing. Vayikar Ablazer dekayi kavisei, but Ablazer holds this way. The Tanya Ablazer amar sheves misasaris zera v'yerek v'zirin. So says Gemara hasam b'digal nisa. That's only if it's growing in a garden, that whatever stage is fine. Amalei Ravacha Rav Nimi le'abaye gavur Rabba asam yasrim kol milsa da amar amri le'nishtaka davalon emar. He says, you know, it's an unbelievable thing. A great man comes to town, and everything he says, they just immediately reject, and they say nishtaka davalon emar. Nachum Avadi, no matter what he says, he can't get it right. Everyone is always rejecting everything he says. Amar ika chada davdin kavasei. No, you should know there's one thing that we do paskin like him like, and that is the tiny nachum adi omer shol adam tzrachav b'shomei atfila. That a person is allowed to be shol tzrachav b'shomei atfila. You're allowed to ask for whatever you want during the bracha shomei atfila. Amar barmina dehi detalya ba'ashli ravravi. No, that's not a case where we paskin like nachum amadi. There are many other tanaim that hold that way, and then we're paskin like those many other tanaim. So that's an exception to the rule. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we're going to see the brisa that has a three-way machlokas tanaim, and we're going to see who these tanaim are that hold that you're allowed to be shomel tzrachav during shomei atfila. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll start with that tomorrow.